Well, first up, the race for vaccine development. India should be releasing results in a month. The Serum Institute of India will give an India vaccine efficacy test result in perhaps a month. But there are five vaccine candidates in various stages of development in India, where India is examining logistics of Pfizer and Moderna vaccines as well. Those are possibly more expensive, but are also showing wonderful efficacy so far. So what we're looking at on this program, among anything else, is cold storage logistics. These are all important. Will these be available for various drugs which do need to be stored at sub-zero temperatures?
Five vaccines, kam se kam, Bharat ki bhoomi par aaj trial mein sammilit hai, various phases mein. Bahar jo situation emerge hui hai, wo Moderna vaccine hai, mRNA vaccine hai wo. मैसेंजर आरएनए के बेस के ऊपर और फाइजर का भी एमआरएनए वैक्सीन है. इन सब भी वैक्सीन जिनका नाम मैंने अभी तक लिया, अपने पांच और ये दो का नाम लिया, उनमें से एक ही ऐसा वैक्सीन है जिसको कि हमारे नॉलेज में -70 -80 डिग्री पे ले जाया जाता है. ये सिचुएशन डेफिनेटली वैक्सीन को स्केल अप करने में बहुत बड़ी बाधा बनेगा. ये आसान किसी भी देश के लिए नहीं है कि इतने नंबर को कोल्ड चेन को ऐसे पैदा किया जाए. कैसे इसमें इसको अगर देश में लाना होगा तो हमें क्या करना चाहिए, वो हम लोग इसको एग्जामिन कर रहे हैं.
Well, joining us now, Dr. V.K. Paul, member of the Niti Aayog and chairman of the Board of Governors of the Medical Council of India. We're also joined by Dr. Shekhar Mande, Director General of CSIR, Dr. S.K. Sareen, who's the chairman of the Delhi Government's panel on COVID-19, Dr. Hemant Deshmukh, Dean of KEMH, and Dr. Rakesh Verma, Additional Director General of Health Services at the Government of India. So we've got a fantastic panel, and these are some of the individuals who are perhaps best placed to tell us a little bit about the road ahead. Let me come to you first, Dr. V.K. Paul. How much longer before you are in a position to accept or reject trials of various vaccine candidates now taking place?
Well, the different vaccines are at different stages of development. As you just now stated in the brief that you gave, yes, serum produced vaccine, which is the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, but being manufactured in India, as well as being put to phase 3 trial in India, is ahead of the others, clearly. And their phase 3 results are expected sometime in January. So that could be the first possibility. Bharat Biotech vaccine has also entered phase 3. That would take a little more time, maybe another 2 months or so. So March, maybe April, that would be the time to expect this. And that would also be roughly the time when the Sputnik V vaccine could be reaching the phase 3 conclusion around that time. So this is the timeline that we are visualizing, and we are prepared accordingly to scale up the vaccine should any of these vaccines or a combination of these vaccines are proven to be effective and safe.
Dr. Paul, one more question. If the AstraZeneca virus, a vaccine candidate which has been doing quite well according to initial reports, if the United Kingdom unblinds its reports on the efficacy of the drug in the United Kingdom, because would India accept those, or would you wait for the test results of phase 3 trials in India?
Well, if this does happen, as is being speculated in media, that the UK investigators reach out to the government regulatory system and they ask for an emergency use authorization, the data would be available to them. And if they do go ahead with any licensure, even emergency authorization licensure, and they apply to our regulator, this will be examined in totality, and the decision would be taken on merits. India would not automatically follow the licensure of another country. That's not the way we work. We have a very robust and highly respected regulatory system. So a fresh application for India, specific application would be made. But yes, the data that is being presented there would also be available. Data from the Indian component of the trial would also be available. And based on this, a decision would be taken up.
Dr. Shekhar Mande, how does the process of decision making work in India when it comes to accepting or rejecting a drug? Who decides?
So the regulatory framework is very well defined. Under the Ministry of Health, you have the CDSCO, and also called as the Drug Controller General of India. The data is presented to them, and they take very informed decision. They have these subject expert committees, which look at all the data from all angles. And once they are convinced, they give approval.
And how long would Dr. Mande, could that hypothetically take? The reason I ask is, when you've got these double-blinded test results, massive numbers of tests which have been conducted, a lot of very complicated data, you would need time to examine that. It's a life and death issue after all, and yet you're fighting against time. So realistically, for any of these vaccine candidates, how much time would government regulators need to say yes or no?
See, one of the things during the COVID period we must appreciate is that this entire organization, CDSCO or the DCGI, they have literally risen to the occasion, and their decision making has not only been outstanding from the technical perspective, but also quite speedy. Okay. So without the loss of any compromise or something, they have actually taken very good decisions and in good time. So we should be very proud of them.
Dr. Varma, assuming a drug is ready,
yes,
and India accepts a certain drug, whichever drug it is, how do we have the cold storage in place, number one, to mass distribute the drug? And number yes. two, suppose there are people in far-flung parts of the country, and they would be, who need the drug. How soon would it be safely taken to them? I know different drugs have different temperatures, but just could you give us an idea of what
we pertinent,
have?
You have raised a very pertinent point, but I must tell you, at the highest political level in the country, including Honorable Prime Minister, Honorable Health Minister and Health Secretary, they are working on this endlessly, 24 hours a day, and working on the program and a contingency plan so that the medicine in the form of vaccine is available to all the four corners of the country, in the farthest area, in the last village of the country. All thing is on paper and it being fine-tuned so that nobody can, no Indian citizen can feel ever that he or she is being deprived of a very life-saving vaccine as and when it comes and whenever it comes. So I assure you, the government is fully geared up and working out on all modalities, examining everything, all plans, how to store it, how to transport it, what temperature will be required, how the thing medicine will be distributed, so that those who require first get it first, those who require second stage get it second stage. But I assure you, government is fully aware of its responsibility and is really working on this endlessly, time and again. And as you are aware, as I mentioned, there is a war room created in the Honorable Health Minister's office, which is working more than 20 hours a day and working on all aspects of vaccine and COVID and other aspects.
Dr. Deshmukh, how important, and this is a point because we are all, let's face it, desperate to get a vaccine on board. I think we all are for the sakes of people all around us. How important is this last step between manufacture and actual administration? There is a huge challenge, whichever vaccine it is, right? Is this something that concerns you, that the vaccine has to be in a condition good enough to be administered, and people who do administer it need to be trained properly as well, because in most likely it won't be one vaccine but two. So that adds to logistic problems.
Yes, Vishnu. What we are talking here is about 400 to 500 million doses. And with these kind of doses, we are almost vaccinating 20 to 25 crore of the population. Now, you need to understand that this population of 20 to 25 crore needs to be vaccinated in a short span of time. So three things which come to our mind is, it has to be a fair allocation of the vaccine. There has to be a lot of prioritization of the vaccine to be given to the most needy people. And then obviously ethical considerations need to be swiftly taken to whom the vaccine should be given. And considering this, we are supposed to give the frontline workers or the healthcare workers the first vaccine dose so that they are protected and they can save the patients from a pandemic like COVID-19. Now, this vaccination program will be rolled out in two phases. And what we need to understand is two things. One is last mile distribution, that is maintaining the cold chain logistics. We are probably geared to, store vaccine up to minus 25 degrees Celsius. And these vaccines that we are talking about are to be stored at 2 to 8 degrees Celsius. Now, if a last mile distribution can happen within a short span of time, Vishnu, this can be, reachable to almost anybody who is in need of this vaccination.
Dr. Sarin, before I discuss the Delhi situation, since you are chairperson of the Delhi government's panel on COVID-19, could you share your thoughts on what works in India presently in terms of the vaccines which actually are out there, in terms of logistics of the vaccines will all work if it's properly administered. And but do we, for example, have the capability in this country to store and to distribute vaccines at minus 20 or minus 70 degree temperatures? Ideally, what is the temperature band which works for us?
See, as far as the Pfizer vaccine is concerned, everyone knows it needs minus 75, which is not possible. Second problem is the Pfizer vaccine needs a batch of 976 people. You have to open it and all 976 must get vaccinated. It's not like you open a vial and you can vaccinate one or two. Although I know there may be a crowd, but still, you need a group of 1,000 people ready to take a vaccine when you start with the Pfizer vaccine. So that is a second challenge. So we need vaccine. I'm not favoring any country or something, but the Russian vaccine, the Sputnik, is like your smallpox vaccine. It's a dry powder. You can use it anywhere. It might be a very good idea. Other vaccines, which are based on adenovirus that we have, they all can be on 2 to 8 degrees. So that is a very good. So if you have a vaccine which can bypass or has a low cold chain need, that would be the ideal. And these could be whether you have Serum Institute vaccine, which is with Oxford, which is a very good vaccine. The data is very interesting, very reliable. And it uses a conventional, simple method. What is a vaccine? You do not take the virus. You take a small protein or a gene of the virus, put it in something, let's say another virus which doesn't cause disease, you deliver it to the body's immune cell. Now the body's immune cell will make proteins against corona.
Yes.
So it's a very simple logistic method and people have used it. So in my opinion, what India needs today is a system, is a vaccine, and not one. UK has shortlisted four vaccines and Dr. Paul is well aware of it. So what we need now is a system which is 2 to 8 degree or a lyophilized vaccine which we can distribute to all our country people.
Okay. Dr. Paul, next question, one word, costs.
Well, costs are uncertain at this moment. The companies have not really clarified very clearly as to what the potential cost would be. It also depends on how much volume they expect to generate. But yes, Serum Institute has committed to a $3 per dose to the COVAX facility, which is the WHO-led consortium for vaccine access by low and middle income countries. That would be India's contribution toward that pool at that particular cost. So I think it is dynamic situation right now. Once the vaccine is licensed, we would have a much better idea as to the cost dynamics and how to meet up that cost. But I assure you that cost and resources are not an issue for COVID-19 vaccine scale up.
Dr. Mande, who will pay for the vaccines? I'm talking about normal citizens who may not be able to afford it. Will it be free?
I think these decisions are too early to take right now, but probably someone like Dr. Paul are in a much better position to answer this kind of
question. Let me ask Dr. Paul that question. Sir, would it be free for the large majority of citizens?
Well, I think at this moment we are planning the vaccine implementation for the priority group.
Right.
And the priority group comprises of healthcare workers and the frontline workers. These are the two groups of people who are maintaining and sustaining and a functional health system and a system that is responding to the pandemic in terms of surveillance and control. Then there is the next priority of those people who have a high risk of mortality by age criteria or by the presence of comorbidities. This is our phase one, and we are planning phase one, but we are ready also for the subsequent phases should the vaccine in large quantities become available in future. We, as I said, at this moment, what can be stated clearly is that resources will not be a problem. And the depending on the cost that would be communicated to us by various companies, measures would be taken.
Okay. Dr. Paul, of all the drugs which you see now, we've seen Sputnik saying 92% efficacy. We don't know about AstraZeneca's Oxford candidate right now. Pfizer is also claiming a very high efficiency. Moderna is claiming, 94.5%. Would there be a possibility of Pfizer and Moderna drugs coming into India at all? Or is that something not being considered? Perhaps would there be a situation when, if they were to collaborate with an Indian company to manufacture the drugs in India, is that a future that we can look at?
So let me answer the second part first. Yes, we would welcome if these companies are willing to engage with our industry, and we have a large footprint of industry, and I'm sure there are candidate industry organizations who would like to collaborate. Yes, we would welcome. At the same time, we are also watching their capability in terms of their stockpile being available for India, and of course, watching what kind of a cost they would be offering it at, also what the other needs, such as the cold chain needs, are there. So that landscape is being watched very carefully. It will be kept in mind that if need be, these vaccines would be imported and used. But I think the other side is much more optimistic, that we have five vaccines. Some of them are already entering the phase three, including the Sputnik vaccine, Bharat Biotech, and Serum. These three are in phase three. And therefore, those vaccines which are being developed and have relatively modest and simpler cold chain needs are also likely to be available in large volumes from our Indian companies, are giving us a much, much more hope and optimism.
Dr. Deshmukh, given the fact that we don't really know how long the impact or the effect of these vaccines will be, can there be a scenario in the future, perhaps a year from now, where with the availability of drugs, vaccines, we can go in for a cocktail therapy of vaccines to ensure longevity? Or is that something that comes with its own set of risks?
Vishnu, what I would like to point out here is, even if you reduce the infection or infectivity of one person to the other by 50%, we are going to conquer this pandemic definitely for sure. Now, when I say 50% reduction in infectious rate, I mean, if at all this vaccination is given to 20, 25 crore people, the impact of this COVID-19 is going to decrease so much that probably this pandemic can be wiped out within the next winter session, that is 2021. And what we are talking here is that the cocktail of vaccinations is by and large not recommended, but a different type of vaccine can be given to different type of people depending on the logistics of last mile distribution.
Dr. Paul, do you want to share a thought for those people who are actually in the business of last mile distribution? You know, we've spoken about our heroes who are our doctors, individuals like all of you over here. But then there's going to be a phase when the next set of heroes and people will be the people who physically distribute it to the last mile. This must be an immense challenge going forward, sir, given the numbers.
It is, but it is doable. And our country has demonstrated that such a large-scale delivery of services is possible. Remember, we are delivering child and maternal vaccines into every village.
Yes.
Repeatedly, sustained, and many, many vaccines. And also, let's not forget how we organize our elections. The services, if that is a service in a way, is possible at the booth level. Everybody knows where to go. There is an order out there. There is a queue. Things are done according to an SOP. So I have absolutely no doubt, and nobody should have any doubt, that an effective, straightforward, sustained, well-organized delivery of vaccine of that scale is possible. It's about good planning. It's about micro-planning. It is about the supply chain. I assure you that we are building a very robust digital IT system mm-hmm. that will be a great enabler for this effort, where people would know where to go. They will get the SMS about their appointment, and the vaccine sessions would be planned accordingly. Health workers would know where to go, etc. And likewise, we are building the cold chain capability as required. We are mindful of the need for additional syringes in millions, and we have that capacity. I assure you that the plans that are afoot are not imaginary, but they are based on our experience of doing a massive work of this nature. And there are people out there. If necessary, more people will be brought into the fold, such as vaccinators, who will be trained and will augment our existing strength. I do not see an issue. It will be a Jan Andolan. There will be a communication strategy to involve people. And all that is in the works, and I'm sure with the cooperation of people, with the leadership of the state governments and the district teams, and your help in media, we will have no issue once the vaccine is available in millions of doses and it will reach millions of people.
Dr. Paul, Arogya Setu, the app, everybody knows it, right? Everybody knows it. What's your new app going to be called? The app that's going to tell people to go somewhere to get themselves vaccinated?
We are calling it Covin. Covin.
Oh, okay.
Covin. It's being called Covin. It's a digital platform. It'll have the app. It'll have other platforms. It'll have a QR code, which will be a certificate, which will be used for the certificate after the vaccine is done. And I may also add with deep pride that the Honorable Prime Minister has offered this as a global public good to other nations as well. And we have opened our channels to international community that those other countries who may like to use such a digital platform adaptable to their own needs will be made available, so that everybody doesn't have to invent this. We have strength in IT system, and our strength is available, like our vaccine and our other products, for the global community as well.
The Covin app. Thank you, Dr. Paul. You've certainly given me a headline this evening. That's something to look forward to. I just wanted to go back to Dr. Sarin. You know, Dr. Sarin, this is a program that's given all of us so much hope. What all of you have been saying on the road ahead. But at the moment, we face a crisis in Delhi, and I'm sure you would agree it is a bit of a crisis. I think the question is this. Are we over the third phase of the COVID spike, or is this likely to get worse?
Well, I'll first add one or two things to what Dr. Paul said. You know, none of us is safe if all are not vaccinated. So it is not the rich and poor or big and small. It is everyone needs, unless you have got the herd immunity. Science has done its bit. Now the society has to do its bit. And therefore, if you vaccinate one, maybe if you have money, vaccinate the other one. Don't burden everything on the government. And we all need to work together. That's my thinking. And also, coming to Delhi, which is the chair is Dr. Paul for Delhi also. But I can tell you, as a common citizen and as a one who is working in this area for past few months, I don't think that all these are waves. You know, wave is something where you have a defined, there was a plateau for some time, it came down. Now there is a surge, and this surge is likely to even increase.
How much will it increase?
We are not over
to,
the hilt.
In positivity rate?
Well, Our estimates were something like 10,000 around Diwali. Dr. Paul and others had estimated 15,000. I hope all of us are wrong in that. But there is a fear that Diwali and these social events might increase the numbers. And one thing very clearly, since I am at home, I just want to one more time say, when you speak, most people would start doing this. When you speak loudly, in 1 minute, you throw out 1,000 virions of the virus. In 1 minute, normal speaking. So please never take out your mask. When you are speaking, speak with the mask. Never eat together. If Delhi has to see that it comes down, the peak doesn't increase, we have to have a society with responsibility. Everything government cannot do. The society must move towards. Samaj ko sarkar ki taraf jana hai, rather than everything by government and by regulations. Okay. And I think one more thing is there has never been in the history that the whole world, adult population needs vaccination at the same time. Therefore, it will be too optimistic that we can achieve it in a year or two. We have to have patience and continue to use all these masks and safeguarding procedures.
Dr. Paul, last question to you about Delhi. Has the impact of the festive season been factored in already in terms of, and I will call it a COVID spike now, or is this surge likely to increase in the next few days? Because that's still not been factored in.
No, it has been factored in because we know that in addition to pollution and winter and high density and our transportation system moving about and connecting large parts of the city and beyond, it was expected in a way. But one was hoping that it will not happen because we were appealing to people, we were appealing to all of us for COVID appropriate behavior led by none other than the Prime Minister himself in a very timely way. And therefore, yes, that has been factored and the steps have been taken in the last 48 hours after the meeting taken by the Honorable Home Minister. Augmentation of ICU beds to almost from 3,500 to more than 6,000, augmentation of testing capacity from about 60,000 to well above 1 lakh per day. You're moving in that direction with mobile testing laboratories, moving with house-to-house survey, and so on and so forth. But I think the message that I want to give at this moment is two additional responsibilities to the three good behaviors. The three good behaviors are mask, Do Gaj Ki Duri, and hand hygiene. But the two messages that I like to add to this now as a citizen's responsibility is one, if you have symptom, if you have system, go for testing. India offers you free testing like nobody else. Please go for testing. It's good for you. And if you know you are positive, it is good for the family, your family, because you will protect. And we will take care of you to make sure that you are safe at home, you are cared for at home, you are tested at home, and the beds are available. Number two, if you came in contact with somebody who eventually is positive, you are a contact. And contact means somebody who came in touch with the person who, prior to the onset of symptoms in the previous 2 days, and then up to the point that you came in contact with this person, if you have had a contact with this person for 15 minutes, you are a contact. And the responsibility of the contact is to quarantine himself or herself. Stay at home, protect the elderly in your own home, wear the mask, and let the system know so that we are watching you. God forbid, you could be a positive case as well. And then you are ready in a timely way. But your responsibility to protect yourself is also coupled with your responsibility to protect others. If as a contact, you are floating around in the community, in the office, in the bus stand, in the bazaar, you are infecting other people. That's an irresponsible behavior. We are now testing 16 contacts for each positive case, but these 16 people should be in a quarantine system. This is a responsibility which I plead that all of us perform and adhere to.
All right. Thank you so much for stating that. And I'd like to thank all of the panelists on board. It's a long fight ahead for all of us. Let's be responsible in the interim period. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for being with us.